This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Ugandan immigrants are the latest group to face attacks in South Africa. Battles over revenues from oil drilling could spark civil war again in Sudan, and a video that degraded black staff at a South African university spurs administrators to shut down an all-white dorm. That's all in our Africa update, and for more, we've got Bill Fletcher. He's a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of TransAfrica Forum. Hey, Bill, great to have you on again.
Always glad to be back.
So we've got a couple of stories on South Africa, but let me start with Sudan. There was a three-year peace accord. It could be melting down. The two factions are the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Sudan People's Liberation Army. Now, that was a 20-year civil war that you have the peace agreement about. 2 million people died. And the same groups are fighting over part of central Sudan. Tell us more about that region.
There's been struggle. We have to keep in mind the way that Africa was divided up by the colonial powers. And so the Sudan was basically designed by the British in a way that brought together the mainly Arab North and the non-Arab South. And after independence, almost immediately, there were struggles between the people in the South versus the government in the North based in Khartoum. Over everything, control of resources. And then by the 1980s, after a peace accord had been breached by the North, further struggles about an attempt by the government to impose a bizarre form of Sharia law, Islamic law, on the people of the South. And there was a war that started.
Now, when you look at the territory, oil is a factor. What do people want? What do these two factions want?
Well, there was a peace accord, as you said, that took place, and everyone was hopeful. I was very hopeful that something was going to work. The problem is that the government of General al-Bashir in Khartoum was less than forthcoming in terms of moving the peace agreement and establishing clear borders. And then the discovery of oil in the southern Sudan made that land that much more valuable. So the government of Khartoum was less interested in a full settlement. The Sudanese People's Liberation Movement, the political arm of the SPLA, had some months ago was prepared to pull out of the unity government because they felt that the Khartoum regime of al-Bashir was really not serious. But then they backed off from that. And then just recently we had this major clash in the Sudan between the armies of their respective forces and essentially what appears to be almost an ethnic cleansing carried out by the Sudanese army against the people from the south in that particular city.
I wonder if there's ever compassion fatigue about a place like Sudan, where you have not only this conflict, but of course, Darfur. And how do you see Americans reacting to this? I mean, there's been a lot of celebrity activism. There's been a lot of, you know, sort of grassroots and intellectual community activism. But how much are ordinary Americans involved in or invested in trying to deal with these issues?
Very important question. We could spend an hour talking about that. And the problem is that, yes, there is a certain level of fatigue that develops, but partly because we don't spend enough time trying to understand the situation. We look for simple answers. So we look at the Sudan sometimes as Islam versus Christianity. And that's not really what's at stake. Or we look at it as the Arabs against the non-Arabs. We don't look at the problems that are the result of the boundaries that were set up. We don't look at the impact of the changing climate. We don't look at the issues of oil. We don't look at a corrupt government that's running the Sudan. So we don't spend the time. And then what happens is we throw up our hands when there are no easy solutions. I think part of what would help, frankly, is more programs like yours, where there's a deeper examination as to the roots of the situation. And I think then people would be less likely to fall into fatigue. But when you're looking for simple answers and they don't arrive, I think people would rather just hide under their pillows.
Here's another case of tough decisions to be made. We have talked about attacks against African immigrants who come to South Africa. Now it seems that there's Ugandan attacks against Ugandans. There have been attacks against Zimbabweans and Mozambicans. There's a new commission by the president to try to look into this attack, this series of attacks. What's that commission trying to do?
Well, this is a situation, Farai, that's been growing since 94, since the end of apartheid and the election of the African National Congress. The problem is this. Fundamentally, the issue of poverty has not been tackled in a satisfactory way by the government. And you've had among the mass of poor people at the bottom, the so-called Black Africans, a very high level of patience actually waiting for something to turn around. And it hasn't. Instead, there's been much more emphasis on the development of a Black capitalist class, opening up the borders to trade, etc., and not enough paying attention to the grievances of people at the base. When you have a situation like this, it is very easy for opportunists to take advantage of the situation and explode it in a very unproductive way. And that's what happened. So people's anger about their situation was channeled, much like we've seen here in the United States when people go against immigrants. Instead of understanding the way that the system is working and that it needs to be challenged, people start going after the vulnerable groups. So they went after the Zimbabweans. They went after the Mozambicans. They went after the Ugandans. Look, Farai, for years, immigrants have been moving into South Africa, going back to the apartheid era, to work in the mines, to work in various industries. So immigration is not new to South Africa. But when you have the level of frustration and the depth of poverty and wealth polarization, it was a time bomb. It was just a matter of when it was going to blow up.
There was a commentary in allafrica.com that said that poverty is at the root of this. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd say that, I mean, that there's many roots, and it's very likely that there was a group or grouping that actually incited these pogroms, these attacks. But fundamentally, this is about poverty. This is about frustration. This is about people saying, we've been waiting for more than 10 years, for 14 years, for the fruits of our national liberation struggle to come forward, and we're not seeing it. We're not seeing land distributed the way that it should be. We're not seeing the fundamental changes in water and electricity and other things that we've needed. We've not seen the development of housing on a level that we've needed. And this has just been boiling over. So it's not in any way, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not excusing the attacks on the immigrants. I abhor the attacks on the immigrants, just as I do when immigrants are attacked here. But the problem is that it's not enough for the government to just say this is wrong and it embarrasses South Africa. They've got to start talking about the economic policies that they're following, which are not benefiting the mass of poor people in the country.
Got one final topic, just want to touch on very briefly. If you go to South Africa's Free State, you'll see a controversy over a video that shows white students at a local university. They were feeding middle-aged Black workers a stew that appears to include urine. Here's a clip of that scene, which is in Afrikaans. Now, at the end of that video, a message in Afrikaans fills the screen, and it reads in translation, "That, at the end of the day, is what we think of integration." What do you think is the ramification of an incident like this?
Well, I have two feelings, Farai, and I'm almost embarrassed to say them. On the one hand, I mean, there was really no surprise there. And when you have a country that has gone through years of colonialism and then the apartheid era of white supremacy, of course you're going to have these kind of racists and in many cases fascists that are going to have not disappeared and are going to be there attempting to provoke a situation. So I think it's very important for people to step forward and speak out against this. But my other reaction is this. Why aren't we talking about rape? that's going on in South Africa? Why aren't we as angry about the spread of HIV and AIDS? Why is it that our reactions are so incensed when we see something that's actually very predictable? Of course they're going to be racist South Africans. But why aren't we just as furious that black women are being raped in record numbers in South Africa, and that the government seems to feel like there's nothing new under the sun?
Well, Bill, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and the former president of TransAfrica Forum. He spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.